Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Alexis Madrigal. Picnics. Just sitting on a blanket on some grass with your family or friends or strangers or even all by yourself. There are two components to the perfect picnic, in my humble opinion. One, you need a good spot, though that could take a lot of forms, rural, urban, and in between. Two, you need good food. We're counting on all of you to deliver us great locations, but we're bringing the heat today with food expertise. Our food editor, Luke Tsai, has written the guide to Bay Area picnicking, and we'll be joined this hour by the dynamite chef, Samin Nosrat, of salt, fat, acid, heat fame. Get your blanket, pull out your All Trails app, drag the sun from behind the fog. It's time for a picnic show, our latest all-you-can-eat after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. This is our latest edition of All You Can Eat with Luke Tsai, our regular series about the Bay Area's food cultures. Luke's got a new story up about how to put together the perfect and extremely Bay Area picnic. I'm just going to quote him. When assembling a picnic spread for your next outdoor eating excursion, it's important to keep a few basic principles in mind. Food should be reasonably portable and easy to share with a crowd. Bonus points if you can eat it with your hands. It should taste good at room temperature or hold up well in a cooler full of ice. Most importantly, it should be delicious and ideally take advantage of the diverse food cultures we're lucky enough to have in the Bay Area. Yes, Luke, this is correct, and welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Alexis. Happy to be here.
We're also joined this morning by Chef Samin Nosrat. You may know her from her New York Times cooking columns or her best-selling book, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, which sold a million copies, by the way. I looked it up. Or the Netflix show based on the book, or perhaps you've just been lucky enough to eat her food at a local dinner around town. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Samin.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Samin, what kind of memories do you have of picnics growing up?
Oh, well, I grew up in San Diego, so I would say the majority of my picnics happened at the beach, which my mom was like a masterful cooler packer. she was really good at just having, being ready sort of at the drop of a hat. And also my family's from Iran, and I think Iranians really excel at really good picnickers. I mean, honestly, there's a national picnicking holiday, like the part of Persian New Year, the 13th day of the new year is like a national picnic. And so
so what would go into the cooler?
Well, it depends. I mean, you know, in San Diego, it's pretty warm most of the year. And so we would have kind of like, and going to the beach, you get hot. So there was just a lot of like things to have once you get too hot. Mm. So I would say like a lot of like sliced watermelon, sliced cucumbers, and then you balance like that sort of refreshing watery thing with maybe like a lavash roll with feta or there would be like always like grapes to pop into your mouth after a little bit of feta. Another like classic Persian sort of sandwich is this sort of chicken salad. It's called salad olivia, which is kind of like Russian salad. It's that, you know, chicken. It's like a mayonnaise-y, eggy chicken salad. Mm-hmm. And that might come in like a pita pocket or a lavash roll. And so that would be like a thing you'd pull out of the cooler.
Oh, man.
Iranians also really love mortadella. So there'd be like a lot of like cold cuts and then definitely potato chips, a lot of potato chips.
I mean, there's something about popping a grape into your mouth, lying down on a blanket that really feels like that is the height of a certain kind of luxury.
Absolutely.
Luke, how about you? Memories of family picnics?
Yeah, well, similar to Samin, you know, I grew up in an immigrant family. And so I think like all family outings and picnics were really the product of that experience. So in an earlier episode, I think we talked about sort of like the assimilation foods, you know, like foods that immigrants would prepare in America that would kind of capture the flavors of their home country while using you know, ingredients that you could get at a regular supermarket. And so like our picnics were very much kind of a mishmash of like seemingly clashing things, you know. My mom would make, you know, her famous peanut butter cold noodles, or she would make these sort of home style sushi rolls with like cucumber and egg and pork floss in them. But, you know, similar to some, you know, we'd also have potato chips. There'd be, you know, if there was a grill, maybe there'd be hot dogs. You know, my dad really liked those Polish kielbasa sausages. So
God, my family too. Was that like the balsamic vinaigrette of stuffed meat things?
Yeah. So we might have that. Lots of fruit. I have really fond memories of those kind of picnics growing up.
Well, I have to say, I'm quite jealous of both of you. And I think maybe it's because I grew up in a rural place, but we like never went picnicking. So I had to learn how to picnic, you know, as an adult, basically like in Dolores Park. That's where I really learned how to picnic, and or out on hikes. And I feel like I'm thinking about this show. The one thing I really love about a picnic is when you have to cut a cheese with something that's not meant to cut cheese. I think there's something really fun about being like, I don't know, is it a knife? Can you do it with a corkscrew? You know, there's something really, you're like, okay, we're living in the outdoors now.
Totally.
We're talking about how and where to throw a great picnic with KQED food editor Luke Tsai and Chef Samin Nosrat. We'd love to hear from you. What's your favorite spot for a picnic in the Bay Area? It could be a famous cold weather picnic out on the beach in San Francisco, or it could be in, you know, the interior in Mount Diablo when it's 100 degrees. Let us know. What's your favorite spot? The number is 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. The email is forum@kqed.org, and Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or KQED Forum. Luke, you have this article that's up, and you kind of go through, this is not your typical picnic fare. You're not just saying, go to Market Hall at Rock Ridge and get the Kale Caesar. Like, you're going like much, much further afield, both like in terms of what you're covering, food cuisines, as well as like kind of coverage of the Bay Area.
Yeah, I think, you know, where I'm coming from is, I think a lot of times when food publications do picnic related coverage, the orientation is always on this sort of like cheese, baguette, charcuterie, finger sandwich kind of picnic, which, like, don't get me wrong, like, I love all of those things. Like, if you give me a good French baguette, like, I will do serious damage. But I also think, like, a lot of folks who grew up in the Bay Area have this completely different kind of picnic vocabulary that's rooted in the food communities that they come from, you know, a lot of immigrant food communities, multicultural food communities. And so when you go to parks and beaches in the Bay Area and you see these like big multi-generational families, you know, gathered around a picnic table, you might see, you know, bread and cheese and things like that, but you also see like people reheating like the big pot of tamales on the grill.
That's the picnic I want to be at, man. yeah,
right. You'll see like a big trays of lumpia, you know, you'll see people grilling oysters, you know. And so I wanted to put together a picnic list that better reflected the kinds of picnics that I've really experienced in the Bay Area. And yeah, like Samin's saying, the kind of picnic that I want to be invited to, yeah. You know, yeah. Whether you're talking about homemade things that people are preparing the list is more designed like, okay, you know, you're going to picnic in this spot. Well, one of the unique things about the Bay Area is we have all these pockets of communities so that, you know, if you go down to Fremont, there is like amazing Afghan and Indian food. And if you go down to Santa Clara, there is all this amazing Korean food. And so depending on your picnic destination, you can really kind of map out like, okay, well, then I can hit up this spot and grab this amazing thing that's going to make everybody, you know, ideally burst into applause.
That's what you're going for.
when I walk into that picnic, which I think is always my goal.
That's a problem for you totally. Too, because people know you're food people too. So they're like, Luke and Samin better show up with something good.
It's stressful. Yeah. It means
what's your number one thing, Samin? Like if you I know you have so many different things you can make, but like what like tomorrow if you had to go to a picnic?
If I had to go, this is now you've thrown me off because right now all I can think about is empanadas for some reason. But I wouldn't make those; I would buy them. Yeah. I'm all about the sort of the food that can steep. Like I'm big into like making things that just get better as they sit. But I really like those shooter sandwiches. Those kind of. Or the kind of sandwiches, like you get a big loaf of bread, like a ciabatta or something, and you scrape out the dough on the inside, and then you build something. You know, it's called a shooter sandwich because, you know, it's like old British hunters would make these things, and they would sort of like fill it with cold cuts and cheeses, and then wrap it up overnight, and then they would take it on their hunting trip, and it would sort of only get better as it sat. And then you would eat this slice, and it would just be this perfect thing. But you can make it however you want. You can make it all marinated vegetables, or you can make it with a muffaletta style or caprese or whatever.
What is muffaletta style?
You know, like muffaletta is that classic New Orleans sandwich. Mm-hmm. Luke helped me a little bit with in there.
There's it's got like tapenade on it? Is that
olive spread. Yeah.
Olive spread and a whole bunch of cold cuts. And
a million kinds of cold cuts.
Like yeah, like provolone cheese and... Yeah. It's just kind of like a little bit spicy and really delicious. It's just like a delicious sandwich of meats and cheeses and spreads.
Why does it get better as it's sitting there?
Everything sort of melds together, but it's built in such a way that it doesn't get soggy. I think that's the thing is like the construction of the sandwich is really important, and you don't want to put things that are going to, you don't want to put like lettuce or things that are going to, get kind of sad overnight or with as they sit or maybe even make you sick. So you kind of want to think carefully about the things that improve with marinating and melding rather than the things that deteriorate. And and that's why also you want to start with a nice crusty bread so that as it absorbs the juices, it just softens rather than falls apart.
I love that. We are talking about how and where to throw a great picnic with Chef Samin Nosrat, author of Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, and KQED food editor Luke Tsai. He's written a great article on KQED.org, how to put together the perfect Bay Area picnic. A couple comments coming in for where and what to eat. Nicole comments, we love hiking to Kirby Cove and picking up Italian subs and a bag of sour cream and onion chips. We may have to have a separate chip discussion later.
Oh, yeah.
Another listener tweets, favorite place for a San Francisco picnic is Washington Square Park. And the food, grilled chicken with a combo salad from Il Pollaio. Right around the corner on Columbus. Perfect food for a sunny day in the city. We'd love to hear from you. Favorite spot for a picnic? That's what we're asking up first. The number is 866-733-6786. The email is forum@kqed.org. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We're KQED Forum. More on picnics, more on chips. When we come back, I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned.
Support for Forum is sponsored by Stanford's Master of Liberal Arts program. Have you found yourself reflecting on your life and education? Perhaps you think it's too late or you're too busy to earn a master's degree. Stanford's part-time MLA program is designed for anyone, from recent college grads to retirees, who'd like to pursue an interdisciplinary course of study in the liberal arts. MLA students also enjoy access to the world-class facilities on the Stanford campus. Information session held May 16th. Learn more at mla.stanford.edu.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. We're talking about how and where to throw a great picnic, joined by KQED food editor Luke Tsai. This is, of course, All You Can Eat with Luke Tsai. And today we've got Chef Samin Nosrat, author of Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, also star of the Netflix show based on the book. I want to get to some callers that we're going to throw at you two, Luke and Samin. Mishi in San Francisco, welcome.
Hey! I'm so excited to tell you about the classic Bay Area spot. And that's Tamales Bay. And you go up there to get some amazing oysters at the Tamales Bay Oyster Company. But on your way, you stop by Soul Food and you get the pepper vinaigrette.
Mm.
And I swear, this thing is the ultimate condiment for oysters. And then you go up there, you get your oysters, and you pull over. You find like a little inlet spot on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And you know there's a picnic area there because if there's a place to pull out, then...
Then there will be a picnic
be
spot.
Epic little spot. Exactly. So yeah, that's my favorite.
That's so good. I know that is one of those things where when you're just thinking about a perfect day in the Bay Area, somehow that will always rise up. Samin, you have done this, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. Very, very, very many times. Yeah. And I also, when I used to work at Chez Panisse, we would have sort of like an annual party there.
Mm.
And it was pretty fun because we would just go up there and like you would sort of like take over the whole area, and there's all the kinds of ways that we would eat the oysters. And so I didn't grow up eating shellfish, so I'm still a little bit like of a shellfish baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been this interesting thing to sort of like learn and witness all the different ways that people eat oysters. You know, I'm still, I would say probably raw is my favorite, but just like, yeah, all the different things that people like to put on them and all the different like little, I think I'm the classic simple, I like a squeeze a lemon or just like a tiny, tiny bit of little, you know, just like a little tiny bit of mignonette. But will you say the name of this sauce again?
It was a pepper, Mishi's gone now, but it was a pepper vinaigrette from a place called Soul
Food. Pepper vinaigrette, yeah, that sounds kind of good.
That does sound
good. And so, but I've seen all the different kinds of like barbecued oysters now. And yeah, it is just going and sitting at the sea, at the side of the bay and having oysters is just one of truly like the most special things I think about the Bay Area.
Also, anytime I'm looking out at Tamales Bay, I'm trying to see bat rays because one time I saw them migrating. It was the most amazing thing. It was like a flock of rays. And
wow.
You were just like, this is so incredible.
Beautiful.
Luke, do you know, talk to me about barbecuing oysters and how you would think about that. I just did it for the first time and I could not believe how delicious it was. It seemed like unfair.
It is delicious. You know, I think similar to Samin, I'm also like, I tend towards the raw oysters on the half shell. But barbecuing them is like a great way to mix it up. And I think especially with the larger oysters, you know, I think like the bigger oysters, I think people might be a little bit more squeamish about just kind of like taking that down.
Got to take some deep breaths before you're like, yeah.
But if it's like a nice meaty oyster, and you just put that on the grill, and again, you don't need a lot on it. I mean, some people like to do it with like barbecue sauce, or some people like it with like hot sauce, but it really doesn't need much, because you're really just like, it's a thing that's just cooking in its own juices, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I love the, you know, and actually Tamales Bay Oyster Company was one of the spots that I shouted out, on my list. And in addition to what everyone said, I just want to recall how that actually used to be one of my favorite picnic spots in the whole Bay Area, because it used to be that the whole place where they were selling the oysters, like right around it, was a picnic grounds that was like the spot where you would go. And like, if I could capture like the multicultural Bay Area, you know, that was the spot. Like it was like Latino families and Filipino families, like with their grandmas and with their grandkids, you know, and everybody just like seriously like bring coolers full of like all kinds of stuff and spending the whole day there. And I guess it was just so popular that people would just park their cars along the highway, and then like I think the neighbors complained
eventually.
And,
yeah,
and
a
it
saga.
Got shut down. It was a saga, but I have great, great memories of going out there.
You know, Luke, that's so cool. I have to say, I didn't really realize that oystering, if you can make it a verb, is such a sort of big part of so many different cultures. And so it's cool to hear that so many different people from all over the world, it's such a part of their picnicking. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. Yeah.
Let's bring in Ian in San Francisco. Welcome, Ian.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good.
Thanks for having me on. Hey, I wanted to recommend a local SF sort of hidden gem for picnicking, and that is the Glen Park Canyon. There's a great big field and this big hidden sort of canyon, and it's right by the Canyon Market, soon to be at Gus's, I believe. But a great place to pick up some supplies and have a great day out in the middle of the city. With a big bonus, it's right by a BART stop. So it's super accessible.
Totally. Glen Park Canyon is so beautiful, so underrated. And sometimes you can see a little coyote, too. Sorry, apparently I'm just going to shout out wildlife on the show. But that's what I think about Glen Park Canyon. And Canyon Market is one of those just perfect urban grocery stores that has all the stuff. Do you want to talk a little bit? There's a type of bread called Senorita bread. That I was hoping you could talk a little bit about, Luke, because it is so special. It's so good. And if people haven't had it, they need to know. This is a need to know thing.
Yeah, I would love to talk about it. You know, like I joke that I made this list, you know, and I sort of pride myself in being like a picnic person, you know, and being someone who thinks very thoughtfully about what I'm going to bring to a picnic. But the truth is like 90% of the time, I'm just going to bring a big box of Senorita bread. that is almost always my contribution. And so, you know how folks who know LA know that they have Porto's, you know, which is this famous Cuban bakery that like if you go to a potluck or a picnic down in LA, chances are someone's going to bring a big box of their cheese rolls and their sort of guava pastries. And that's like a thing, like that's like the classic thing to do. And in the Bay Area, we don't have that. And what we have instead is Senorita bread, which is there are these pillowy, sweet, buttery rolls that come from this Filipino bakery chain called Star Bread, which probably the most famous one is in Daly City. Prior to the pandemic, it used to be open 24 hours. So you could go in the middle of the night and they famously bake these rolls fresh, like all throughout the day. And so when you order it, it always comes out piping hot. And, you know, they look sort of like, I don't know, like around the size and shape of like a little hot dog bun. And they're just super buttery and they've got like a little crunch of sugar. And the key is like they stay
to
warm.
Eat 30
well.
Of them. Yeah,
they stay warm. You can reheat them. And they are just delicious, you know, just so satisfying and so inexpensive that, yeah, you like I go and I'll buy a box of 50 or I'll buy a box of 100.
Wow.
And it costs like nothing. and you just bring it and everybody is happy. Bring it to a potluck, bring it to a picnic. Everybody is happy. Yeah. So if you have one takeaway from this show, go check out Senorita. They have it in Daly City. They have it in Vallejo. They have it
Richmond,
up near
right?
where
Isn't
I live.
In,
yeah, it's a sort of San Pablo-Richmond border. That's the one that I go to. But anywhere where there are a lot of Filipinos, I think like Tracy, I think there's one. Like anywhere like that, you'll find them. Great, great amazing. Picnic item.
Samin, you make an amazing pita bread. Is that the number one bread that you would make to bring to a picnic?
If I were making my own, yeah, either the pita or maybe focaccia, anything where like it's going to be able to hold. I think pita's nice because it's something that can hold. Like I think kind of along the lines of the tamale, I think a perfect sort of picnic concept is foods wrapped in things, like contained foods, you know, because you want to be able to sort of pick it up and eat it. And like, ideally, you're either eating the wrapping or just peeling away and discarding the wrapping. And so I'm thinking of things like tamales that you maybe make or buy, or like another perfect wrapped food is the original one is the hard boiled egg.
Mm.
Right. Or, if I'm making a bread, I would say maybe like the little pitas. The pitas are nice because they have a very small time commitment. Like you can make it in a span of a few hours. And then you like, you know, cut off the top and you like stuff them with whatever, and then you're on your way. But you also don't have to make pitas. There are so many great pitas you can buy here in the Bay Area, and you can just pack them filled with little things, and you have a little pocket. You can carry your little pockets. Because
yes.
I think when I'm thinking of picnics, my main sort of, I think I want to sort of travel light, basically. I'd want to minimize silverware. I want to minimize all the stuff I have to bring. You know, there's the sort of maximalist picnic where you're like creating like a table setting for Instagram or something, but that's not me. Like, you know, I want to do, like, when I schlep, that's a job, that's catering. I want to minimize schlepping. I want to have fun and sort of create maximum efficiency. So I'll even like pour water into my water bottle and freeze it overnight so that my ice becomes the, you know, my water bottle becomes the ice pack in my cooler. And then it's chilling the stuff in the cooler and also then is melting as I'm drinking it. And it's kind of like let everything play a double role.
I love that. We're talking about how and where to throw a great picnic. Joined by Chef Samin Nosrat, KQED food editor Luke Tsai. Here's something we'd love to hear from you. Tell us one of your great memories of a picnic. We got to share some of ours. You can share yours. The number's 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. The email's forum at kqed.org. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, we're KQED Forum. Let's go to Rachel in Albany. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
For me and my kids, picnics became a big thing during the pandemic. And what we would do is get our Japanese rice triangles, which are like easy for kids to kind of hold and eat. And we would drive to the Bulb in Albany, and we would park backwards so that we could face the ocean, and we would open the trunk in our Outback, and we would have rice triangles and just kind of enjoy each other and the beach. And, you know, during the pandemic, there was not much to do but being outside. And so that's a special memory that we have.
Oh, I love that.
I love that. And also a wrapped food.
Yes, yeah,
I was going to say, like, talking about self-contained foods, like all of those rice wrapped things, you know, we're talking, like, you're talking Japanese onigiri, but then there's also kimbap, you know, like Korean kimbap. There's also the various musubis from Hawaiian food. You know, all those things are well represented on my list. And I think all of those things are just perfect foods to bring to a picnic.
Samin, I don't know if you have heard of this one that Luke put into the list, but it's from Takahashi Market in San Mateo. And it's a salmon and crawfish musubi.
Ooh, I have not heard of that one, but I do love musubis. So I don't know that one specifically, but
yeah. I mean, Luke, can you tell us a little bit about why that one specifically?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, that market is just so special. Like, it has such a long history. Like, I think the business opened in like 1906, and it was like part of like those very, very early, like, first Japanese communities that settled in California. And I think initially it was this general store, and the owner would ride by horseback out to Half Moon Bay to sell things to the Japanese farmers who were out there. And over time it evolved. And like for the past 20 years or so, it's been kind of this Japanese Hawaiian market. And so they do like a really excellent Hawaiian plate lunch. They do poke, and then they do all kinds of musubi. Like, you know, everybody knows spam musubi, which they do, but they also have like a dozen different kinds. And so they'll do like an unagi, like a grilled eel musabi, and they have all kinds of seafood musabis. And so my favorite is the salmon and crawfish. The crawfish is like subtle, but it's there. The salmon is like moist and delicious, and then it's got mayonnaise, and it's dotted with tobiko, you know, like the little fish roe. And it is just like, to me, that is the perfect bite. And like,
so cool.
That is like the most luxurious thing I can imagine bringing to a picnic.
I totally need to seek out that market up here. I live in the East Bay and, we have Tokyo Fish, which mm-hmm. I also love to go. I definitely on my way to the beach will stop there and get a bunch of prepared foods and like also many, many crunchy Japanese snacks of all sorts of different kinds.
I'll come up with any excuse to go to Tokyo Fish.
Totally.
It's another great place
to stop for Japanese snacks.
Absolutely.
Foods.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of people writing in with different places. There's some real classics in here. I love this one. One listener writes, Brooklyn Basin in Oakland. You can sit on the hill, watch the boats on the estuary and the roller skaters boogieing by. Another listener writes, any spot in Golden Gate Park with a baguette and cheese from any store. I like that person. They're just like, it doesn't really matter. Golden Gate Park is amazing. And I actually think somehow still underrated, even though everyone knows about it. Celeste writes, I'm a rock climber and I love going to Turtle Rock in Belvedere, Tiburon with fellow climbers. We'll bring a bunch of snacks and drinks to picnic on our crash pads while enjoying the view and climbing. Dana writes in to say, during the pandemic, my husband decided we would just go on driving trips to all the coast locales. I would prepare a make-in-the-car cooler bruschetta with olives, tomato, oil, and seasonings, pieces of bread, cold cuts, and bottled sodas. Then we would sit in the back of the SUV with the door open, looking at the ocean in our own vehicle cubby. You know, it's interesting. Luke, do you think you developed a different relationship with picnicking through that pandemic period because of the sort of stories that people are mentioning?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think one of the things that the pandemic, I mean, in addition to sort of the outdoors being for a long time, the only thing that you, the only place you could go, the only thing you can do, like the previous caller mentioned. But I think the pandemic also really kind of redefined the way that people think about takeout. You know, and the way that restaurants treat takeout, you know, and so I think, you know, out of necessity, restaurants started doing all kinds of stuff that you could get to go that previously you couldn't. And some of that has just carried on even as we're into this like post pandemic or late pandemic
trans-pandemic
time that we're at right now, yeah. You know. And so I think, you know, like, ultimately, you know, I think I put all these criteria like this is what makes a good picnic food. But like ultimately, like what makes a good picnic food is just like whatever the heck you want to eat for a picnic, right, is a great picnic food. And so I think, you know, if you want to get takeout Peking duck from Great China in Berkeley and bring that to your picnic, I say the more power to you. And that used to be a thing that was impossible to do prior to the pandemic. Now you get it in a big aluminum tray and they give you like your little wraps you're set. I did that for like two consecutive birthdays for my daughter during the pandemic.
We're talking about picnics with KQED food editor Luke Tsai and chef Samin Nosrat. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned for more right after the break.
Support for Forum is sponsored by Stanford's Master of Liberal Arts program. Have you found yourself reflecting on your life and education? Perhaps you think it's too late or you're too busy to earn a master's degree. Stanford's part-time MLA program is designed for anyone, from recent college grads to retirees, who'd like to pursue an interdisciplinary course of study in the liberal arts. MLA students also enjoy access to the world-class facilities on the Stanford campus. Information session held May 16th. Learn more at mla.stanford.edu.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. We are talking picnics. We are here. Almost summertime. Doesn't exactly feel like it, at least in the city, but it's almost summertime, time for picnicking. We're joined by KQED food editor Luke Tsai, as well as chef Samin Nosrat. Luke put together an incredible guide. It's called How to Put Together the Perfect Bay Area Picnic. We're going to take a bunch of your calls during this segment of the show, as well as get to a bunch of your amazing comments. All right, Luke and Samin, this sounds amazing. This is a Northern Mexican desert picnic. This is Jesus writes in to say, I'm from a town in northern Mexican desert. We picnic a bit differently. I grew up packing burritos de chicharrón prensado, frijoles con queso, and asado de boda with my mom, and our burritos are nothing like California burritos. On our way to the desert, we'd stop by for gorditas de cocedor and let them sit and sweat in a cooler until we got to our spot. We'd also barbecue some yummy carne asada, Argentinian and Spanish chorizo, ribeye steaks, and if we wanted to take our disc, we'd cook up a discada with mesquite wood. We'd cut ourselves out by the mountain. To fight the heat, we'd buy the world's sweetest watermelon and cantaloupe from town in Durango. I mean, that is the maximalist version.
You win.
Yeah. Hey, Seuss, we're in. You got the email. It's forum@kqed.org. We're ready to go with your mom. I mean, that is... I like the idea that a picnic can literally be anything, but the dude who's like, get a baguette and go to sit on a, you know, the grass in Goliad Park, to Jesus, who's like, no, yeah, we're journeying to the mountains, we're cutting our own mesquite, and we're doing this thing. That is awesome. I have never experienced a picnic of that epic grandeur. Would either of you think you've seen something that good, picnic style?
Wow. I mean, that is really special. That is really, really extraordinary. I've definitely had my experiences with some special cooks where, like, we've done some kinds of insane things, like, you know, digging holes in the middle of nowhere and burying lambs and cooking them overnight and stuff like that. So I've had all sorts of fun things. There may be sort of extreme picnicking.
Yes, right.
Yeah. But that's kind of like, I would call that sport picnicking.
That's the Francis Mallman stuff, right? You're just I'm going to go out by the lake.
So I almost don't feel comfortable talking about that in public. But this, you know, what Jesus is talking about comes from, like, you know, from tradition and in family culture. And I think that has a place in my heart that is, like, that's what I want to experience and see. Is it's not about sort of trying to outdo anyone. It's about just like, this is something about family history.
You don't think his mom was trying to show up her sister? I'm just kidding.
Maybe a little.
I mean, here's another amazing one. I'm going to go back to the phone. This one sounds so good. Scott writes, I was an English teacher in Japan many years ago, and the supreme time to picnic was during Hanami, the cherry blossom season. The humming sounds of nature, trees in full bloom are everywhere. Put down a blanket, pack some onigiris, some beverages, some sweets, and enjoy the wonderful time with friends in amazing nature. Oh, man.
That's beautiful.
I got to remember to do that. Let's go to Zoji in San Carlos. Welcome.
Hi. I can't believe I have to follow up that picnic.
I know. That was tough. High bar, Zoji.
Yeah, but, you know, as a kid, one of, like, my core childhood memories would be going to the ferry building, you know, kind of early in the morning and, you know, gathering our picnic foods, you know, always going for the Acme bread, going for some sort of prosciutto's, deli meats. And of course, I think there was a cowgirl creamery at the time. So, like, almost an impromptu charcuterie board, but in our hands, of course, with some fruits, you know, and then taking the ferry to Sausalito and picnicking there and enjoying that side. I'm from the peninsula, so we don't really get to enjoy the North Bay that much. Mm. But the reason why I enjoy that a lot is because you kind of have three picnics and once, you know, waiting for the ferry on the ferry and then finally when you get to
Yes. The Hobbit version of picnicking. I like that. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, like I'm moving to Maryland soon. And so I'm kind of mourning all this, you know, Bay Area knowledge of picnicking and foods and stuff lost, but and starting over. But I'm really glad that, you know, on the ferry, you really feel and take in the energy of the bay. So
I love that, Zoji.
That's something that always sticks with me. Yeah.
Well, you have a new bay awaiting you. So
that's true. That's true. That's true. And and you know, the ferry, I actually agree. Zoji, my favorite thing is to go to the Japanese spot in the ferry building and then get on the ferry and sit on the upper deck and just go across to the East Bay eating that food. That to me, oh man. So that could be the best picnic for me because I love the bay so much and I love that particular route. Should we go? Let's get to another call here. Let's go to Chloe in San Jose.
Yes. Hi. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
So one of my favorite places to go, because I have two kids, one is 3 and one is 8, is the San Francisco Zoo, because there are plenty of picnic tables. And but usually, you know, these parks, the food can be so-so. So we bring our own food, and you were talking about immigrant cuisine. So what I like, we are from France. So what we do, or what I do, is actually I make a quiche, and then you know, let it cool, and then I cut some slices so you can eat with your hands, because you know you were talking also about it's you know bonus points if you can eat with your hands. So that is definitely something we do. And another favorite that we always bring, and the kids love, is cherry tomatoes. Especially, it's easy to grow if you have a little piece of a garden, or you can even grow on your balcony if you have one. Cherry tomatoes are just so good, you know. So my kids just love that, and of course, you know, watermelon and stuff. And she's—I mean, we're French, right? So she's pretty big, you know. Another thing I make sometimes is gougère, that is not necessarily a picnic thing, but it's really easy to make. You don't need that many ingredients, right? It's just butter, flour, water, and cheese. And those are like delicious and super easy to share. Like if you bring those in parties or picnic, it's usually a big hit, and kids and adults love them.
That's beautiful. Chloe, thank you.
Those are like really our go-to.
I love it. I love all those things. Samin, do you have, there's the quiche, there's like the Spanish tortilla in kind of a similar vein, those kind of egg-based things that are very portable. Do you have any of those other ones or those?
The one from, you know, from my family, from the Persian culture is kuku. And like our sort of like main one is kuku sabzi, just made with all sorts of herbs and greens. And I would say it's like the inverse relationship of frittata, of like greens to egg of a frittata. So it's like mostly greens just barely bound together by egg. So you like really feel like Popeye when you eat it. Like you're like.
But, Sasha, you need to check your teeth afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. But it's that's also I grew up eating that really. That's I would say a classic Persian picnic food too, because it does really well at room temperature or even cold. And you can make it in advance and just like eat it in slices, stick it in a pita, eat it not in a pita. It's really good with feta cheese or pickles. And it's just like, it's a great, you know, as a bite, as a slice. I love a kuku. Yeah,
love it.
The other thing that these past few callers have made me think about, which I didn't per se talk about specifically in my guide, but I feel like in the Bay Area, you have to talk about fresh fruit just as a picnic thing. Because I think like you can prepare all these complicated dishes and you can buy these amazing things. But a lot of times, like right now, like if you show up at a picnic with like a flat of perfect in-season strawberries, like people will just
lose their minds.
Go nuts for that. Yeah. You know? And I think that even that I think has this kind of multicultural spin to it, because I think like, for instance, like during the summertime, there are all these like Indian shops, grocers, like in the South Bay and even in Berkeley, where you can get like you have to buy a whole box. They won't sell you like
the mangoes. So, is that so where you're going?
Yeah, that's where I'm going. You can get the perfect, these incredible Alfonso or Kizar mangoes that are like already so ripe that like you can't even keep them.
You have to eat them outside because they're so sticky.
And they are like people in the US like have no idea about mangoes, but like Asian mangoes is just like a whole nother level in terms of sweetness and juiciness. And like I don't know if I've experienced that at a picnic, but like just thinking about it makes me happy.
It's the best. I also feel very strongly when it comes to stone fruit season. And if you're taking your fruit on a picnic, you have to really pack it very delicately and carefully so it doesn't get smushed.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So like if you're bringing apricots, you know, put them in an egg carton and
a little padded box with velvet. Yeah.
Treat your fruit with care. I'm like the international fruit carer, okay? Do not smash your fruit.
That's definitely I pack my avocados in my chore coat pockets if I have gone to the store. Because I feel like I do not want them with anything else getting smushed.
No. Yeah. Exactly.
Let's get this is a fun one. Ari in Crockett, welcome.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. I am calling to talk about a hidden gem in the Bay Area, Crockett, California. Actually, if anyone's ever driven up 80, and right before you get to the Carquinez Bridge, you'll see the C&H Sugar Factory. That is the little town of Crockett. Around it are amazing little hikes and trails and picnic places where you can have a view of the Carquinez Strait and across the water to Benicia. And the picnic place of my choice is Lucia's Craft Sandwiches. These are not your grandma's sandwiches. These are artisanal, I would say. They are,
that's my friend Katie's shop.
Katie. Shout out Katie. Yeah.
Shout out to Katie.
I don't know. I don't know Katie, but Chef Randy is the one who put it together. He's the sandwich savant, I would say, with his sandwiches. Things like his turkey sandwich, for example, has fresh spreadable cheeses, avocado, and a house-made pickles and pickled onions and pomegranate vinaigrette. They're fantastic.
That sandwich. Sounds awesome. That sounds awesome. Ari, thank you so much. I also, the one thing I always want to do when I'm in Crockett is I want to play on the bocce court that's right across from the sugar factory. I don't know if you guys know about that spot.
Yeah.
That seems like a good place to eat a sandwich, play a little bocce, you know?
Yeah. The pool's great, too. Yeah.
Another listener writes, this is a great story. One time at Poplar Beach in Half Moon Bay, there was a family sitting at a picnic table, deep frying samosas, dropping sliced veggies in a batter and then a pot of oil on a little gas barbecue. They noticed me eyeing their setup, handed me and my kids one fresh out the fryer, wrapped in a paper towel. I couldn't believe how perfectly crispy and delicious they were. And then that person said, make sure you tell Luke Tsai the story. this is Luke Tsai's all-time favorite story from a listener, I'm guessing. The listener didn't actually write that. I added that, but it is true. That, to me, that story, Luke, is like kind of the embodiment of the kind of coverage you do, I think.
Yeah, I mean, what a perfect story. And I think, again, just listening to all these callers and just the stories that people have shared during this hour just makes me think about how a picnic is really like the perfect way to sort of share a piece of your food culture with someone else, you know, and it's like totally low key, you know, non-intimidating and just like very authentic because you're outdoors. Your kids are running around and someone has just made this like beautiful thing from their culture to share with you, you know? And I think that is just a beautiful thing that I think happens every day here in the Bay Area. Just like that moment that listener shared, I want someone to offer me samosas. That's what I want.
I love that. Samin, this one's coming to you. A listener writes in to say, in summertime with my kids, we often take our dinner to the beach in Pacifica where we live. As long as it's not super windy but overcast and gray, we're all good. I pack Milanese sandwiches, chicken cutlets, mayo, arugula, squeeze of lemon on ciabatta buns, potato chips, watermelon, cookies, sparkly lemonade, and cold wine for adults. I've also been known to just grab pizzas and a bowl of olives and drinks for an impromptu picnic dinner. Here's the question. Listener writes and say, I have a permanent picnic go bag in my car at all times. People can't believe it, but I always have cheese knives, wine opener, napkins, bamboo utensils, and Duralex glasses wrapped in dish towels. Samin, if you had to build, I love, first of all, this is like the anti-apocalyptic go bag. It's like the picnic go bag. So
I love it.
If you were to build a picnic go bag, or you have one already, what do you think you'd put in there?
I mean, this person sounds like they've got it.
They've got
much,
it down?
Yeah.
It's going to be our next pledge gift on KQED.
Yeah. I would probably add some wet wipes, you know?
Yeah. That's...
But yeah, maybe, I know. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
One of the things I'll say is, you know, I guess to show my identity as a picnic person is, like, many years ago, someone gifted me and my wife a picnic backpack. Which is literally like, it is a giant backpack. And everybody makes fun of me when I bring it to a picnic because it's this humongous backpack and you lug it on the hike or whatever. But then you get to the top of the mountain and you open it up and it's got like
compartments.
It's got a tablecloth. It's got like real plates and silverware. It's got wine glasses. It's got like salt and pepper shaker. Like it has all this. It has a little cutting board so that you can slice up your bread. And it's like one of those where like, you know, one of those scenes where like you it's like an infinite bag.
Mary Poppins situation.
You keep on pulling stuff out and they're like, oh, it has this. It has this. So I think that would be a great KQED.
Yes, that's right.
listener gift.
In fact, you actually do have a picnic go bag, Luke. I think that's amazing. I really do. A couple other, and feel free to shout out if you know any of these places. One listener writes in, Dharma's in Santa Cruz. Get Kichari to comfort food, basmati rice, cooked lentils, spices, cilantro to go with a giant salad and dressing on the side. They'll give you food in a solid carrying box. Then go to Rio Del Mar Beach near Aptos, blessed as the sun goes down. One person, two other classics. A listener shouts out, I love a sunny day on Lake Merritt. Grab friends, sit on a blanket on the grass. You're instantly part of a big party with all of Oakland walking by. Totally agree. And Doug writes in, a spot that seems so uniquely San Francisco and a place I've been going to ever since I was introduced to it 20 years ago, Stern Grove. Also an amazing one. Samin Nosrat, author of Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thanks so much. What a fun way to spend the morning.
Good luck cooking all day for the rest of the day.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it. And also, KQED food editor Luke Tsai, your guide is so good. It's How to Put Together the Perfect Bay Area Picnic. It's on kqed.org. And thank you, as always, for joining us here on All You Can Eat.
Thanks so much, Alexis.
Thanks. All of our listeners, thank you so much. The community really came through today. So appreciate that. And I loved hearing about all of your spots from northern Mexico to Pacifica. I'm Alexis Madrigal. This is Forum. Stay tuned for more right after the break with guest host Scott Schaefer.
Funds for the production of KQED's Forum are provided by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the Generosity Foundation, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Heising Simons Foundation.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.